Only 1 in 4 young adults say they learned anything useful about money in school. This means most of us entered adulthood financially illiterate. And honestly, it shows. We spent 14 years in school and still don't know how taxes work. Today, welcome to the first episode of The Daily Economist. I'm Rehan.
And I'm Sasha.
And we are going to be talking about whether schools prepare us for the economic climate. How are you doing today, Sasha?
Good, good. Excited. It's always the verge of something new, and I'm excited to delve into the volatile, but also very interesting subjects of economics.
Yeah.
And how economics is not a subject where you learn from the past, but it's always, you also learn from the past, but it's always something new going on.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited.
Definitely. I mean, like, today, well, we've seen AI, cryptocurrency. If you were to go back to the 1960s, That's not there at all.
Yeah.
And I think our world's just changing as we move on. And I feel like today's episode is going to be a big one because obviously schools, and I feel like the school system has been like designed for the 1960s, 1970s, as in like we sit in rows of seats, we have to raise our hands when we want to talk, stuff like that. Just, it's almost designing us to be working in factories when in reality we've moved on from those ages, and we still, like, we need to look forward to entering the market, look forward to getting money, stuff like that. And
I would actually disagree with you. I feel like education is not a place where it prepares us for the 1960s, but it's not a way where education teaches us skills for certain jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of how we think. School is not trying to memorize stuff and just trying to cram it. It's more of a way where, as humans, one of the most important things is critical thinking.
I mean, like, what do we think, like, economic preparedness is? Because, like, from my opinion, I think it's basically, like, how ready someone is to handle real-life financial stuff and work-related challenges of adult life.
Fine.
So, like, having practical money skills, workplace abilities, and just having, like, the basic understandings of the modern economy. So, like, what we're talking about is, like, navigating things like bills, jobs, taxes, debt, cost of living, all of that. And I don't know, I feel like we need to change our schooling system a bit more to almost, like, incorporate these, like, skills. Because I don't know about you, but I know how to analyze a poem, write trigonometry,
exactly, yeah.
But like I still don't really know how taxes work, and that's actually such a big issue in our world.
That is a good point, but the economy is not only on taxes and the way that governments, like the budget, for example. Economy is what drives our daily lives.
Mm-hmm.
It drives our wages, and it is main primary force, which so many people just don't know enough about.
Yeah.
For, like, all these invisible decisions made by these large companies or the local companies around your street have massive effects on your lives, but you have no real idea about it.
Yeah.
And with this podcast, I really want to show this invisible force, which people are affected so much by, but have so little knowledge of.
Mm-hmm.
And to shine a light, many people do argue, and you have a right point there, where schools are built not on trying to understand how you become an adult and try to, you know, juggle work, taxes, all these important things, but schools are prepared to make you prepared for what's to come in your main primary
schools. Yeah.
So, you know, for example, being social or trying to, you know, think differently about something.
But schools, do you think, like, because obviously schools are there for that, but realistically, right now, like, for example, just take inflation. I'm not sure I understand inflation that well, but, like, I can really feel it. Like, you move over to stores, you can see prices have risen a lot.
Yeah.
And you go talk to parents, they'll tell you inflation, inflation, inflation. But, like, in school, we've not learned what inflation is. The only reason I, like, know what it is through YouTube videos and stuff like that. And we're almost in a world where people aren't ready for the economy. Like, when they go into our new world, they don't know what to expect. For example, 79% of people in the UK have never created a budget before.
Wow.
And
it's something which I feel we need to shed more light on. People, like, for example, who just don't have the privileges of being educated where we are, or universities which are who are magnificent universities, many people are left in the blind side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And much of the more working class families have a correct reason to worry about this rise in inflation, and they just don't understand why the price keep rising and rising. And a good way to and the school system is a way to fix that. And instead of trying to blame the school system, instead we should try to develop it in a way where people have more opportunities, not only in this brilliant school like here, but more in, you know, lower wealth mm-hmm. backgrounds, who inflation might affects more.
Yeah. So I mean,
trying to fix that is very important.
I think that we should just get back to the initial question, in my opinion, which is that, are we actually leaving schools clueless? Because of course, schools can't teach us everything, right? We're not expecting to leave schools as astrophysicists.
Fine.
Yet, budgeting, bills, saving, and almost basic economic work-related stuff is such a pivotal part of our lives.
Yeah.
And if we're leaving the world with 79% of people in schools not understanding how to create a budget, then there's clearly something serious going on here, do you not think?
I feel especially now when people leave school, there's a big worry. And I think this is where I really want to talk about is, do we still have the ability to do what our grandparents and parents had? For example, buying a house, or ability to buy a car, or one of these very important, mm-hmm. economic, that have a sense of economic independence.
Yeah.
And the rise of AI and the more volatile economic place we're in, it's much harder for people to buy homes and try to become economically independent. And I feel schools are an important way to actually help you become economically independent. Mm-hmm. For example, nearly 50% people who go on to, you know, university are 50% yeah. more likely to have a more protected against recession.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned this because economic independence relies on education.
Yes.
And if we try and try to develop these schools, especially in lower class areas. In lower wealth backgrounds, the economy is something of a thing for the upper class to deal with, like what politicians mm-hmm. deal with. And the main question is, do schools prepare us? We must try, and I'm feeling very strongly about this, but we must try help lower wealth backgrounds to understand what, Because if we keep on trying to have people from low wealth backgrounds who earn less
yeah.
and have a much harder time dealing with inflation, if they don't understand what's happening, it's much harder to try and overcome these mm-hmm. hard
because
issues.
I think for most people in our school, which is obviously we're really lucky exactly. to be at the school, but like their financial literacy level is really simple. If yeah. their card doesn't decline, then it's okay, which is quite funny at first for many, but like when you delve into it, if students are thinking just if their card doesn't decline, then they're okay, there's a serious problem going on. And you did touch on like working levels, working background. And I agree, we completely do need to help them understand what the economy is. But I think we need to change the whole schooling system in general to the point where we're incorporating financial lessons once a week or twice a week if we can. And these might not be examined, but they're going to be key parts of our role. So, for example, I know what the mitochondria of the cell is, but I don't really know what's credit card score and how to increase and decrease my credit card score, which is a big problem today.
Yeah, and it's a problem where many people actually complain about it, where school has an incredible effect of mm-hmm. creating community, developing critical thinking skills. But your idea of maybe one or two lessons is a good idea for not allowing children to feel more children, especially in the 14 to 18 background, especially in high schools, a chance to understand what the future is coming for them.
Mm-hmm.
And jobs where high school, in my opinion, is the most important part of a young man's
education.
Because the primary school prepares for secondary school, and secondary school is where people decide what they want to do in life.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Introducing one or two financial lessons not only allow people not more independence to if they don't want to do university, they have some education on what inflation is, how to deal with credit cards, what to do, how to get a job, for example. These lessons are so critical, but are unfortunately not available in normal schools. I want to talk about AI. AI is a massive thing. Massive thing, not for only during schools, but the economy. There's economic boom, and where AI now has not only been amazing resource, but is a big thing in this new economic climate. And if we can, use it in an effective way.
But how do you think we should use AI in an effective way for?
I was going on to that. One thing which I feel AI especially affects in school is that, are we becoming smarter than our parents and grandparents, with the introduction of AI?
That's actually a great question.
Because
what AI does, because for me at least, AI knows more about my spending habits than I do, which is incredibly concerning. And yet, it is very effective, because you can go up to AI, say something go into ChatGPT and say, type something how do I make this? How do I make that? And while that is incredibly useful, there are times when you don't have that time to make decisions. There are times when in the moment you have to make a decision, and it would almost look unprofessional to go onto AI and say something write me a budget for this company plan. If you were in a meeting, for example, with a big CEO of another company and you're trying to strike a deal, and the CEO asks you something what is your budget for this company? You're not going to just bring out your phone and type on AI, what is our budget for our company? And though AI does know more about maybe the company's spending habits, where the company is spending, where the company is saving, it doesn't necessarily make you understand those skills. And also, many people don't use AI the right way, if that kind of makes sense.
You're right. It is one of the big things where more and more young people, due to the lack of, being taught how to deal with their finances, are constantly relying on AI tools like ChatGPT, Copilot, etc. And at first, it may look good that we have this AI financial advisor, but I like to go a bit deeper and shows how it has a meaning of how schools aren't preparing us to handle our own finances. And the increase of demand for AI to help them deal with their finances and try and understand why they have, for example, why they have less purchasing power, for example, it's a sign of how I think schools need to innovate in a way where, especially, I have this constant repetition of the in low wealth backgrounds. The economy affects low wealth backgrounds so much more because they just have less purchasing power, and each penny means so much more to them. And the lack of understanding of where their money goes, of how to use their money effectively, is a very concerning.
Many people's bank apps have this new feature on AI called Predict My Financial Future, which can help predict you. But for most people, they don't need AI to tell you what your future is going to be like.
Yeah.
And what they do need is almost skills.
Yeah.
So how do we use AI to help develop these skills if we're not going to do it in school?
That's a brilliant question. And The AI, especially during this, AI, especially in the rise during with education, where AI is being more and more incorporated into education, many are much more pessimistic about it, where they feel AI will be, you know, degrading children's learning and making it much more difficult for children to try to soak up the information they're given. But in, I want to just shine a bit more of an optimistic light to it, of how AI lacks the consciousness, the moral responsibility, or the accountability, or more importantly, genuine empathy. And schools, I feel, are very well equipped on not only creating trust, but creating us as good human beings.
So you're saying we shouldn't use AI to like help us learn about these kind of big economic things like budget, saving, stuff like that, but we should just do it in school instead?
No, I'm more saying that we should use AI for the more smaller tasks where human creativity, critical thinking skills will never be replaced.
Can you give me an example?
Yeah, of course. Let's say, for example, you're working in mathematics and you're currently struggling in a problem. And AI not only students, let's say in the students, for example, where you're struggling in maths, helps children understand mathematics better, but creates new, for example, new techniques to try to understand it. And I'm talking about this kid who's using maths with AI as a story of how AI is a great way for children try to understand it in a different way. Because we all have different thinking processes. Of maybe we think how we learn and the ways we learn are different, how we soak up information. And I feel like AI could be a vital tool in helping children who have a different way of thinking to understand certain topics.
Okay, so I think we should stop talking about AI before it starts listening to us and then sends us a performance review. Because unfortunately, I am kind of scared of AI. But we should... Do you think we should get back to the question, which is really about how do we incorporate these skills into the schooling system?
I really want to talk about jobs. Because jobs are what, we all study for. We all study, go through high school. Or then we may go into, for example, university or, different areas of like, for example, internship. And in this new economic climate, many are still wondering if university is still useful for us. Is school still useful to get having a good job? Or instead, should we just instead go out, leave high school early and, just go and try to become, an entrepreneur?
That's actually a great question, which is quite concerning to think about. So I've got friends and cousins in the US, and across their street is a plumber, and he's living in this almost like mansion-like house, and his job is a plumber. He didn't go to university for that, and yet he's still in this million-dollar house. And it's almost like, how does he, who does such a simple job, like 50 years ago, that's such a basic, simple job, get that rich? And it's almost because we've suddenly realized that because all lawyers, doctorate degree people are going to get more money, everybody wants to become that. And that leaves room in the market for simple jobs like electricians, plumbers, stuff like that. And especially in the UK after Brexit, there's such a huge market for that, that if you do become a plumber, electrician, or just basic like jobs that we need to have, you're likely going to make a lot of money.
So I want to try to tackle this worry of, is university still useful? Is it still useful to go through this more of an academic route during your life? Or is it more effective to go and try and, become an entrepreneur? Like, for example, become a plumber, for example. Or do a become a bit more creative. Because many people many people, the whole goal is get into university, get a job, buy a house, buy a home. Mm-hmm. But and being a bit pessimistic, I feel more and more in this economic climate,
mm-hmm.
it's harder to do that.
I mean, what? Unis promise you basically critical thinking skills almost. But like for most people, the thinking skill that they end up using is whether they should get out of bed and attend the lecture, which is incredibly concerning almost if they're spending 50K, going 50K in debt, and even more in American countries, in America, sorry. Then why are you going into debt if you're basically, the only thing you're doing is considering whether you should get out of the bed, go to your lecture, or stay in your lecture?
After people who go to university, there is always some good news where statistics show that nearly 88% of recent graduates from the year 2022 and 23 were in work or in further study after 15 mm-hmm. months of graduating. And 76% of those people were in high-skilled jobs. Secondly, independent research found that 73% of UK graduates say going to university helped them get the job they wanted in under a year.
Mm-hmm.
And 78% say university helped them gain an employment, and 64% say increased their job security. That is all very good news.
Those are very good numbers, actually.
But there is some caveats in where even though these young people are able to find the jobs they wanted, that there's a lack of purchasing power, and that there's a lack of people after they go mm-hmm. to university and get the job they wanted.
Do we think the school system rewards us more for memorization than actual critical thinking? Because I feel that it might not just be like adding new lessons around financial literacy and being aware about the financial world.
Yeah.
But maybe changing the whole schooling system altogether, if that makes sense. Because if you think about it, right now, we spend so much time revising, memorizing things. Let's just take maths, or let's take biology, for example, because that's a very big memorizing subject. I've got a textbook, an exam textbook, and I've learned a lot from that. But that's just through memorizing. And that's not what our world is. It's moved on from a place where we just need to memorize into a place where we should actually try and apply those practical skills. Because right now, we're just memorizing a lot. That's not going to help us. So let's take, do you know math challenges?
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of people in our class do really well in maths as an exam. But when we get to the maths challenges, it's a very different story because that really separates like two halves. Because in maths challenges, it's not about memory. It's about like how you approach the problem and how you solve the problem. So do we need to start doing more of those? Or do you think this schooling system is good right now?
Well, there's two sides to it. Well, first with the memorization part, memorizing is also a very important tool. Where, for example, if we didn't memorize, for example, biology, the part of the cell or the part of the body, memorizing is key in helping us remember knowledge for past mm-hmm. events. But I feel that the school system is actually much more prepared for the rise of AI than we actually give it credit for. Because AI is not, you know, a self, it's a tool where it goes through all the information which it has access to and kind of complies it. And mm-hmm. in this way, AI is not something which we should be scared about. It actually should be something more optimistic mm-hmm. because it allows children, as you said, allows children do more critical thinking skills, as AI allows people to have a reduced amount of things they need to memorize and actually and allows schools to teach more of these critical thinking skills. But on...
you know what's quite funny about schools?
What?
And I think this will be relatable to our listeners, but memorizing in school is really interesting because I can recite a poem that I learned in year 8, but I still can't remember where I kept my debit card, which I left in my room 5 minutes ago.
Exactly.
Which is, it's great because clearly my long-term memory is good, but if my short-term memory isn't as good, is that, do you think that's just a me problem, or do you think that's something that there's a big reason behind that?
I really don't know.
Yeah.
Because schools in general are key places.
Mm-hmm.
Are places where people communicate, grow, and schools are so vital. And because as a young adult, but also, you know, kids in primary school, and as they go through secondary school, we're very impressionable.
Mm-hmm.
We can be molded, and it's much easier to place certain ideas in our heads.
Yeah.
Especially, for example, in more areas of the country, there's more impressionable ideas. For example, Andrew Tate is very impressionable to young teenagers. And the schooling system is so vital in protecting us from these not only violent views, but also allowing us to have our own critical thinking skills.
Now,
I want to just also talk about university. After university, do you think we'll still be able to buy the same things we had as our grandparents and our parents?
What do you mean?
Like, for example, able to buy a house, for example. Still able to buy a car.
Well, we need to buy those things, do you not think?
But do you think that we have the economic ability to in this economic climate?
What do you mean? Like, why would we not be able to?
I have some data.
Okay.
From university students.
This is great.
They talked about what percentage of them were financially able to buy homes, and it's a bit concerning because it's 1 in 10 people aged 20 to 44 mm-hmm. currently rent and are currently renting are financially able. Only 10%,
mm-hmm.
and there have been surveys where only 10% of young adults are able can afford to buy homes. And only 2.9% are single, and it's these high property prices are such a challenge because these young adults who come out of university are finding it such a challenge to buy homes.
Yeah, that's a great question, because is it not just?
Do you think it's
just gotten out of university?
Yeah,
I don't think you can be expecting to buy a home immediately. I think you obviously need to work a lot harder. You need to spend some time outside work, earning money before you're going to be able to buy a home. And especially if it's a expensive home, you definitely need to save up that money. So I feel university students, like people just out of university, should be saving money. Now, finally, I think we do need to answer this question because it is the big question.
Yeah.
Which is, we both agree that schools have not taught us enough about our world. They've not taught us budget. They've not taught us all of that.
Yeah, we need to know about them more.
So,
the economic climate,
what do you think the solution is?
I think we touched that already.
We need to incorporate more classes into schools.
Yeah, exactly. We mentioned that.
So, what do you think these classes would do? What would they look like?
So, as mentioned before, schools are very important. Very important. We cannot argue. I cannot say anymore. Schools are so important, especially for less wealthier backgrounds, mm-hmm. to allow for a more higher, easier way for climbing the social ladder. And in these low wealth backgrounds, knowing, for example, these classrooms, I feel would be so much.
Yes,
be so good. In teaching students on what, for example, how to manage the money well.
Yeah, budgets.
Exactly, yes.
Budgeting, maybe credit card debt, how to not get into that.
Exactly.
How to make sure you're aware of your
inflation.
Bank account, inflation.
Yes.
All of that. And what I was thinking is because, you know how we have, for most schools in the UK, you do a well-being class maybe once a week. And while well-being is all good and great, I can promise you my well-being isn't going to be amazing when I'm broke. So I think we should do something like that. So maybe once a week, you don't get tested on it.
Mm.
And I do think not getting tested on it is a great part, because in well-being, we don't get tested on it. It's almost what makes us interact with the class more, because we're not taking notes all the time. And that way, you really get to understand the economy. And for the people who don't bother to listen, well, that's kind of their fault.
Perfect.
So I think what we need to do next is send an email to the Department of Education in the UK telling them to listen to our podcast and get in financial lessons.
I do feel that we focus a lot on lower wealth backgrounds. Yeah. And I feel like these financial lessons would be so critical in helping them climb the social ladder.
And I do think it'll be great for everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the first episode of The Daily Economist, and hope to see you soon. Bye-bye.